Hello, everybody. If you hear the sound of a whooshing in the background, I apologize. It is, again, quite hot in here. I'm recording this from my bedroom, and the AC unit is in the living room, and I use three fans to blow it in here, and that's the way I'm able to keep reasonably cool. Today, we will talk about social structure. What is social structure? Well, let's begin first with a discussion of structure in a more general sense. For example, I can talk about the structure of the mind, the human mind. Psychologists, in particular, are interested in the structure of the human mind. And often there's a debate among psychologists as to how the mind is structured. What are the different components of the mind? What is the relationship between thought and behavior? What is the relationship between thought and feeling? Those are all things that psychologists talk about in trying to understand the structure of the human mind. Some anthropologists, focus on structure in the sense of language. So there are people who are anthropologists who are known as French structuralists. The most well-known of them is Claude Lévi-Strauss. And Lévi-Strauss said that society is structured based upon language. And especially his idea was that language in the mind is formed in terms of pairs, kind of pairs of opposites. And so we generally think in terms of opposites. For example, light versus dark. For example, good versus evil, that kind of thing. And so as we conceive of opposites, of the world in terms of opposites, we can understand how society operates. Now, where do these opposites exist? Well, ultimately, they exist in the human mind. So French structuralism in anthropology is kind of a psychological version of anthropology, since it does focus a great deal upon the study of the human mind. Now, French structuralism has had some influence on sociology, but not that much. Structure in sociology is used in a somewhat different sense, generally. When we talk about structure in sociology, again, we're talking about order. How is society ordered? For instance, I can look at a building, and I can say, how was that building constructed? Obviously, the word constructed has the same root structure in it. And I can say, obviously, the architect needed some kind of blueprint. Obviously, the architect needed to hire builders. Obviously, the architect needed to hire plumbers and various other people who were necessary in order to get the building project completed. And ultimately, if the architect knows what she or he is doing, then the building will be completed and will be stable. It will have a strong foundation and it won't collapse because of a strong gust of wind. These days, especially in areas which are prone to hurricanes and tornadoes, most states in the United States have strong guidelines to make sure that buildings can withstand a certain amount of wind. So structure is really important when it comes to buildings. Structure is also important when it comes to cars. If I have a car and I take my car apart in a field, because I want to see what my car would look like. Now, in all honesty, I would have absolutely no idea of how to take a car apart, but say I did. then somebody comes along and says to me, I am the owner of this property, and your junk is on my property. I might say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was private property. I just wanted to see what my car would look like if it was taken apart. And so the person says, well, please take your junk off of my property. And I say, well, okay, sir, but it's not junk, it's a car. And the guy will correctly say, no, it's not a car, it's junk. And I would say, no, it's a car. And he might say, well, if it's a car, get into it and drive it away. Well, obviously, I can't drive it away. Why? Because it has no structure. In other words, a car is not simply a collection of car parts. The parts have to be organized or structured, in other words, in a certain fashion in order for the car to operate. People who build cars know what that structure is, and they know if they get even one small part in the wrong order, that the car might at some point malfunction. Oftentimes there are recalls of cars for that very reason. They'll discover that there was some kind of little doohickey in the car that didn't work or was defective or perhaps might potentially cause a collision. So they will ask the person to bring the car into the dealer, and the dealer will fix that part at no cost. Well, the same thing is true with social structure. There are two primary levels of social structure. There is microstructure, and then there is macrostructure. Microstructure is the structure of small groups. When looking at the structure of small groups, famous sociologist Georg Simmel, a German sociologist, his name is spelled G-E-O-R-G, notice no E at the end, S-I-M-M-E-L, Georg Simmel. Georg Simmel focused on what he called formal sociology. Now, formal does not mean formal in the sense of the opposite of informal. Formal means the sociological study of forms of social structure. Simmel primarily looked at two basic levels of structure of small groups. One he called a dyad, and the other he called a triad. A dyad is a group of two. A triad is a group of three. Now, beyond the basics of just the numbers, what is the difference between a dyad and a triad? Well, Simmel explored that in some detail. The expression, for example, two is company and three is a crowd, appears to be accurate, at least from Simmel's perspective. Because if you have a group of two people, a dyad, there is a certain level of intimacy. Once that number is increased to three, the intimacy declines. Because you have a third person in the group, the two people cannot be as close or intimate with each other as they were before. Parents often discover that when they have a child. Parents may have a close, intimate relationship. Suddenly a child is born, and all of a sudden the parents need to devote a lot of the energy and time that they were devoting to each other to caring for this helpless little baby. So it takes away some of the intimacy out of the relationship. Perhaps not surprisingly, many divorces take place after the first child is born, especially if the marriage was not particularly stable in the first place. Because having a child, while it can be a marvelous thing, does add a great deal of stress to any relationship. Now, a triad, T-R-I-A-D, dyad is D-Y-A-D, a triad, a group of three. Now, what does a triad do that is different than a dyad? Well, first, that additional person, that third person in the triad, makes it possible for the first time to actually have democracy. You can't have democracy in a dyad. You can have consensus, where two people agree on something, but if you vote and one person says yay, the other person says nay, you have an impasse. Nothing can get done. Once you have a triad, you can vote and you can have a majority. So triads make it possible to actually have democracy. In addition to that, in a triad, if there is a dispute between two of the people in the group, the third person in the triad can serve as a kind of peacekeeper or mediator, somebody who will try to take away some of the rough edges from the relationship and restore a certain amount of order or, again, structure to the group. So that's the difference between dyad and triad, according to Georg Simmel. In addition, social structure is a very important concept in sociology, because without social structure, you literally cannot have a society. I'll tell you what I mean by that. It is possible to have structure without a society or a group, but it is not possible to have a group or society without structure. Now, why do I say that? That might sound a bit odd. When the framers of the U.S. Constitution wrote that document, there was no president, there was no Congress, there was no vice president, there was no Supreme Court, etc. And yet the structure was present in the Constitution. So when the U.S. government was established, the people who actually established it had the Constitution as a structure or a set of guidelines of order for which to form the first government of the United States. Now, over the years, of course, there have been various amendments. For example, the amendment which gave women the right to vote, the amendment which made slavery illegal, and so forth, which gave more people the right to vote. But pretty much the same constitution that we have now is what we had back in the 18th century. There have been some changes, but the changes have not been that significant. It's still essentially the same document. So in that case, you had a structure before you actually had a group, or in this case, a society, that society being the United States of America. You cannot, on the other hand, have a society or a group without a structure. Say I go outside and I round up some people, you know, somehow maybe pay them a couple of bucks, and say, hey, look, come into this room. I'll give you 10 bucks, maybe 100 bucks, whatever. And so I get some suckers who are willing to come into the room. There are always suckers out there. And so they come into the room and they ask the obvious question, okay, so why did you invite us here? And I say, no reason. I just wanted to see if you would come here. Well, they might use a few choice foul words toward me and then quickly leave the room. Why? Because they were not a group. There was no structure. In order to have a society, you need structure. You can't have a society. You can't have a group. You can't have a community. You can't have an organization without structure. But on the other hand, you can have structure without a group, a society, an organization, or a community. So structure is a really, really important concept. Another aspect of structure is that structure gives us what are sometimes referred to as causal mechanisms. They actually make things work in a certain way. They cause things to happen. They make things happen in a way that sometimes we don't fully understand. Now, we are born into this world. We did not create the society that we are born into. And yet, through our action, or the technical sociological term for action is agency, through our agency, we can interact with that social structure and change it. So the fact that we are living in a particular structure does not mean necessarily that that structure is permanent. One might argue that the structure we are living in right now in the United States is having a lot of problems. Some people have referred to a kind of culture war that exists in the United States. Certainly there are people with many, many different conflicting opinions on a whole host of issues. And the same thing can be said on a global scale with the conflicts that exist between various nations and even communities within different nations. So structure is necessary to produce a sense of order. In other words, structure actually acts as a kind of causal mechanism which makes order function in a certain way, or in other words, which makes societies, groups, organizations, and communities function in a certain way. So structure, along with culture, are perhaps the two most elementary concepts in sociology. There has long been a debate in sociology as to whether structure or culture is more important. If you ask me, I would say structure, but that's just my own personal view. Other sociologists would disagree and say no, it is culture. Those people are generally called cultural sociologists. I am not a cultural sociologist, so I don't subscribe to that particular viewpoint. Okay, that rounds out the lecture for today. Hope everything is going well for all of you. Have a nice week.